So today we're going to conclude the sermon series, It's Time to Make a Difference. And I know that some people didn't get to make some of the earlier sessions, so if you will, I'm going to do a brief synopsis to kind of get everybody in to see it seaming together. It's kind of like when you have a tennis shoe, you know, you run all the strings through the loops, and then all of a sudden you just pull it all together. So now today I'm going to try to pull all this together for you. And I want you to see it in its totality, and I want to see it in your working in your life, and I want to see it in a revelation to where you get it, to where it's practical application, to where it becomes a part of you and it becomes who you are. Can somebody say amen? And the entire theme throughout was Romans 8 and 11. I'll read from the NLT. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you just had full revelation of that, I would really probably never have to come up and preach from this pulpit again. The greater one is living in you. And he says, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by what? The same Spirit living in you. So many times we're praying to Jesus, but you don't have to go anywhere to pray. You don't have to pray the FIFO prayer somewhere out there. Somewhere out there. It's not that kind of prayer. He's here. So we pray here. We pray in the Holy Spirit here. Why? Because where's Christ? He's here. Now say this. You got to do it with me. Say, he's living in me. And sometimes when you don't know what to do, you got to remind yourself, he's living in, I don't got to put a 911 call out. I got to put a 911 call in. Help's not on the way. Help's already here. That's not the same thing. Because when you say help's on the way, you're waiting. When help's already here, everything you need's already there with it. For whatever you need. And so session one, the statement of faith was, every moment you're alive, if you have this revelation, every moment you're alive, then you have a chance to make a difference. He's alive, and he's in you, so therefore, you're alive. So what does that mean? It means you don't have any more excuses. We don't have excuses. We have the great one living on the inside of it. It's what's in you. It's what moves through you. It's what empowers you to be able to create the change that needs to be created. And then we went right on in and we went into session two. And the statement of faith there was, every time you realize the truth, then you have an opportunity for change. Why? Because I quoted from you from John 8:32. If you know the truth, then that truth makes you free. And that truth is, God has given you the power, and to some people's lack of understanding, he's also gave you control. And for those of you who didn't hear, I'll just step away from this just for a minute, because remember, we're always saying, well, God's in control, you know? There was a storm, there was something bad, there was some hurricane. We even call it acts of God, right? The insurance company calls it acts of God. Like God's going to be a God who murders people. Like God's going to be a God who brings devastation upon his people. No, God's not in control. You are. I gave the demonstration where Jesus was in the boat and you're crossing. He was sleeping sound and fast. The disciples were going crazy because the storm was brewing and the water was coming in over the sides and it was getting crazy out there. And Master, and everyone was panicking. Jesus just got up, didn't change anything about his day, just went over, and he rebuked the storm. How many people remember the story? And when he rebuked the storm, what happened to the storm? He just said, peace be still. It was over, right? So help me here, because if God was in control, and God sent that storm to that boat, and Jesus stood up and rebuked the storm, that means he would be rebuking God. There's nowhere in the Bible where you're going to see Jesus rebuke God. It's not going to happen. They're always in agreement all the time, say all the time. So therefore, he gave us control, so much so that he put us in charge of the earth, gave us dominion over it through Adam. That season failed. And because that season failed, he had to send another. By the way, God had two sons. Why'd he get so quiet? He had a son of the flesh and a son of the spirit. So the second Adam, Jesus, came and restored our dominion back to us. And so God put us in control. The minute you got saved, he said, here's the controls. Here's the manual. Now I'm giving you control. You can speak my word. You can believe my word. So when someone says, well, you know, God's in control. No, he's not. God's set sovereign. That's different. God's in everything all the time. He's standing by to faithfully watch over his word and perform it. Yeah, he's doing all those things. He's in control of his word. Yeah, he's in control of everything that he's doing. But what he is not in control of is what you're doing. Why? Because you have free will. You can work for him or you can work against him. So who's in control? Say, we are. We are in control. The only person who controls your destiny is you. How can you believe? How can you speak? How can you act? How can you react? How could you program your mind? It's up to you. You're the one who gets to qualify those choices. Come on, somebody. Romans 4:17. He said, I have made you a father of many nations, speaking to Abraham. In this presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, I'm reading, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That same power is in you. And if you realize that, some people said, well, no, I think that's just God, and God helps us. No, or he wouldn't have said in Mark 11:23 that truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, how many people have had some mountains in your life? You've had some obstacles. Yeah, I don't think they were as big as a mountain. I just don't think they were. And he said, speak to this mountain. He said, just speak to it. He said, go throw yourself into the sea. And he said, if that person does not doubt, say, I'm not going to doubt. Does not doubt in their heart, but believe. Say, I believe. They believe what they say, it will happen. It will be done for them. So God wouldn't tell you to do something that didn't put the power in you to enable you to do. And the fact that he did put the power in you. Same power that raised Christ from the dead. Same power that calls those things that are not as though they are. Same power tells you to believe in your heart, speak it, and it'll be done. Is that what the Word of God says? Yes or no? I'm reading from the text here. Yes? So God has already told us how faith works. And now, watch this. God's waiting on us to make the call. What are you going to call it? I call myself healed. Well, this thing's all jacked up. Well, then I call it blessed. This thing's all messed up. Well, I call it back into order. Man, this is crazy. Well, then I call it away from confusion, and I call it making sense. You got to make the call. He's empowered us. He's instructed us, told us word for word how to do and what to word. So there's so many times we're sitting there waiting on God. No, God is waiting on you. Just very gently bump your neighbor and say, God's waiting on you to do the thing you need to do. Then I slid on into session 3. The statement of faith, there was every time you face a challenge, you have an opportunity to conquer. And I read to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, from the King James. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. And that is such a churchy term, he led captivity captive, but nobody really ever explained the term to you, did they? Well, we kind of think we know what it means, and we sort of know what it means. So I gave you the depiction because it comes from an ancient victory procession. And what would happen when a king would besiege a city or besiege an army, and he would be the conqueror, he would be the winner, he would line those people up, those prisoners, he would line the captives up. Now, these were the ones who wanted to keep him captive. These are the ones who wanted to rule him and take his life and his world, right? Instead, he led captivity, and he put them in a line in the chains and made them fall in line behind him. He put them back in order where they belong. He led captivity captive. And they would do a procession to be able to demonstrate, said Christ made him. Show of them openly. Is anybody following me? And I brought you to the desert when Jesus was tempted, and finally he had had enough. He looked at me and said, Satan, Because he tempted him at his weakest point, and he's telling him to put food in his body. And what does he look at him and say? How many people remember the prison guards story I told you? When prison guards are there and someone who is one of the prisoners gets out of line, what do? Get back in line. So when Jesus said, Satan, this has already been done, another way, get behind me. What he was saying is, you've already been conquered. I'm not even through yet, but you've already. See, you're in the wilderness. He was full. See, that's when he got full of the Spirit. He took his authority. Get behind me. Get back in line. So you need to see the stories in the Bible and understand how they tie through and how they thread through. They will always lead to showing you how you operate in the authority of God, because we're supposed to be Christ-like. And there's too many times we need to be, instead of be getting in line with it, we need to say, you need to get behind me. Or standing in line for some of it. Come on, somebody. No, you need to get out of line and get them back in line. Amen, Pastor. Woo, that'll preach right there. Then we took that and we just slid right into session number 4. And the statement of faith there is today. So we're sliding right into the next session here. Are you tracking so far? Are you with me? It's all been about authority. It's all been about understanding who you are. It's all understanding and who is in you. And we say he's a greater one. It's greater than anything you will ever face, any challenge you will come against. It doesn't matter. What's in you is greater than that thing. Say he's greater. So I'm going to make your statement of faith here for this session. You can't know who you are until you are what you know. The Bible said to know the truth is what makes you free. You can't be the truth until you know the truth. So guess what? We're going to talk a little bit today. Now, we've made it all about stuff. We made it all about authority, knowing who's in us. Now we got to talk about who we are. Now we got to talk about what's keeping us from making the changes we need to make in our life. And so now that we know that everything to make the change is already in us, we got to need to know what we need to change. Somebody say amen, please. So I'm going to read Galatians 5:17. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite. Say opposite. Of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly, the Bible says right here, are constantly fighting each other. So it says this, I'm reading from the New Living Translation on this. It says, when this is happening, you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So many things you want to do. God, maybe you feel has told you to do. Things you're desiring, but you can't do it. Why? King James Version says it like this. So that you cannot do the things you should. There's a loving God. You're full of him. Make sure you never say you're full of it. Say the Spirit. Be nice. Should have said that with a smile on your face. You go, we're not here to make enemies, guys. Come on. Yeah, next time somebody says you're full of it, say the Spirit. Grin right at him. Say the Spirit. So full. I'm overflowing. Want some? But the problem is, if the Spirit has one intention, but that flesh has another, the battle begins. And if you start getting in line instead of getting it in line, who am I talking to? Then what happens is you get in the line, let's say the wrong line, going down the wrong road, doing the wrong thing. And now the thing that you needed to do, God needed you to do that. You should have done that. You were called to do that. You were made to do that. You're over here doing this other thing. And I can tell you right now, sometimes you get so good at doing the other thing that you start justifying why you're there. I said it. I can't believe I heard myself say it. You're over there and you start fighting. Well, you know, there is some good here. Come on. How many people have done it? You know, it's not all bad. I'm helping some folks. Yeah, but are you helping you? Because you're a folk too. And so, he's not interested in justification. He's interested in exaltation. And so God wants to be exalted in all that you do. And so if he's going to be exalted, there's sometimes you have to face things in your life and you have to say, get behind me. He's going to say, you know, get back in line. I guess I'm going to have to get personal. Didn't want to have to go here, but I'm going to have to go here. So I'm going to tell you a truth. Because until you know the truth, you can't be the truth. So the reason why you are drawn to certain sins in your life is directly related to what you're supposed to do. Okay, just tell me who I'm talking to here. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to start identifying with some folk. And if that's you, just you don't even have to raise your hand. Just look at God and say, okay, God, that's me. I hear you. If you're having crippling self-doubt and insecurity, just always doubting yourself, always operating out of insecurity, I got a word for you today. The reason you're feeling that is because you were meant to lead and inspire. Yeah, that's what you should do. But because the flesh has been talking to you, and you've been believing people talking out of the flesh to you, now you're doubting what God called you to do. And you can't be confident in the thing you're doing because you're still listening to the flesh and feeling the flesh. Well, I can't do that. No, you can't, but through Christ you can do it. All things, that's an all thing. That's a thing. That means you can do it. And so, I'm going to say it this way for whoever this is for. You may doubt yourself, but you can't doubt what's in you. Never was about you. Never going to be about you. It's all about what is in you. Now, before you came to Christ, it was all about you. And we know where that's heading. How'd that work out for you? But now it's not about you. It's about him in you. And what I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to, listen, excuses are permission to fail. And I'm just trying to get us all out of the area of excuses. And there's things we need to do. There's things we desire to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live the rest of my days miserable because I can't do what I know I'm supposed to be doing. Because there's no peace in it. And there's nothing like the peace of God in your life. And so, I just want to let you know that you may doubt yourself. You can't doubt what's in you. And listen to me, somebody. If you weren't dangerous to darkness, it wouldn't try to mute your confidence. See, the truth is you're armed and dangerous. And so now turn that confidence back to God. Can I bring up another one? If you have constant distraction, lack of focus, or procrastination, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I think I'm talking to a few people right now. Hear me out. I didn't come to judge you. Didn't come to make you feel bad. I came to give you answers. Came to help you. This is your day. My God, inside you ought to be saying, man, this is my lucky day. I'm so blessed today. I'm so glad of all days I came to church, I came today. If you have constant distraction, lack of focus, or procrastination, listen to me. It's because in you, you have strategy, vision, and ideas from heaven. That's truth. And the problem is you've been telling the wrong people. So you've been telling the wrong people, and they've been saying you're crazy. Why? Because they can't identify. Spirit and flesh don't cooperate. So you're telling people of flesh, and you wonder why they think you're crazy, because they're not of the Spirit. And God's trying to move from you to the Spirit, and it sounded crazy to them, but in you it makes sense. Am I talking to somebody today? So your creative gift has been exploited. And now, instead of working for you in the kingdom of God, it's been used to distract you from your destiny. Yeah. And so, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Listen to me, somebody. Listen, please, get this. Instead of focusing on the thing, let me say it this way. Instead of focusing on the thing you think God wants to do, why don't you focus on the God who wants you to do the thing? Sometimes we're so focused on the thing that we're more focused on that thing than we are God. Then we only hear the thing talking instead of hearing God. Why? That creates a distraction, you understand? And distraction creates delay. Somebody hear this in your spirit. The enemy delays you because he can't stop you. Only you can stop you. Can I do another one? If you have an addiction to lust, pornography, it's going to help somebody. It's because you carry a deep capacity for intimacy, for covenant, and for healing. Wow. And so if you pervert love, that's how the enemy prevents true restoration. Somebody hearing that? See, your heart is craving true love. And so you try to fill it with fake love to fix that appetite. You're trying to quench that appetite. It's equivalent of someone overweight living on junk food. Eventually, it's going to take its toll. It'll take its toll on your health. It'll take its health on your mind. It'll take its toll everywhere in your life. Takes your healing. Say this with me. Healing stealing. That's what the Spirit is. It's healing stealing. I'll tell you right now, nobody going to steal my health. It's the one gift God gives us to satisfy us with long years. I don't want to exist. I want to live to the moment I take my last breath. And when I say live, I mean fully functional. If Moses and Grotel's eyes aren't even dim, my eyes need to be stay good too. Say there's no one. Say it. Say there's no one going to steal my healing. Can I do another one? I think I got time for one more. It's going to hit a few people. If you have fear of rejection or abandonment, it's a big one. If you have fear of rejection or abandonment, it's because, listen to me, you carry a spirit of belonging and reconciliation. That's what's in you. You carry a spirit of belonging. You carry a spirit of reconciliation. And listen to this. That spirit in you is actually made to gather outcasts. So the enemy tries to make you feel like one. He makes you think people don't like you. Makes you think people don't want to be around you. No, he strategizes to use people who are already outcasts or already, watch this, working for the wrong side. And he uses them to put you in a place where he knows you need to be. Because if you ever get out of the place you are and you realize who you are, instead of scattering, you're going to gather. Sheep gather, wolves scatter. So the next time someone comes to you and they're trying to make you feel like you don't belong, or like, you know, you stay over there, or whatever, just remember, there's a spirit of a wolf that is working to try to scatter your sheep. Your sheep are your life, your friends, the people around you, the ones that bring edification into your life, the people that make you a better you. There's people I have to be around to make myself better, because I am not equipped and I need some help with the equipping process. I didn't get to be who I am by being by myself. I were around people who knew how to do things better than I did, that I could watch their life to know this is what you do, but more importantly, bless God, what not to do. And I could tell you, I had to put a few people out of my life. And I had to get a few people behind me, because all of these feelings I was preaching about begin to be drawn to me. And I'm to the point now, when someone tries to make me feel rejected, I start speaking to the principality that's working through the personality, and I call it out. I don't even have to go to the person. I don't know who this is for, but I hope somebody's listening today. I know it's helping me right now. Listen. When you accept Christ, Christ comes into your heart. Your spirit rises up over that flesh, and the Bible says it brings it into subjection. And the one Paul was saying is sometimes it's like, you know, beating the air. When you're doing it yourself, you're sitting there like beating the air. You're swinging and you're not making contact with anything. He says, so the Spirit of God, what you're trying to fight, you quit fighting and let the Spirit of God get into the Spirit, get in touch with the greater one, start listening and accepting the authority of Him, and He will bring it into subjection. See, I'm going to say something. Somebody hear me. Start fighting the problem and stop fighting each other. All things are become. So now your identity can be revealed, and now you can do the things that you should. This entire sermon series is to finally convince you of one thing. All of this should point to one thing. I'm going to read from Romans 8 and 35. We start in 11, we end in 35. For I am convinced, say I'm convinced, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, present nor future, nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us. He is in you. You are in Him. You are one. You cannot be separated. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you said. I don't care what you think. I don't care what some idea somebody tried to plant in your crazy head. I don't care what crazy thing was spoken over you in your life when you were younger. I don't care the people all around you disagree. The Word of God says who you are. That's who you are. You cannot be separated from Christ that's in you, and He is the one who gives you your new identity. It doesn't matter who you used to be. It didn't matter what you used to do. It doesn't matter where you used to work. It didn't matter whether you had money, did money. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. I don't care if you're Chinese. It doesn't matter who you are. You have a new identity in Christ. You cannot be separated from that. And that's what will take you to be able to make a difference and do the things you need to do. Now stand to your feet and give God some praise if you believe that this morning. Come on, somebody. Come on, that's who you are. The greater one lives in me. Say it, the greater one lives in me. Say it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, all things are possible to them that believe. Come on, say, I believe, and give God some praise. I believe. Hey, hey. Took 4 weeks to get to this point. That's how the word works. Line upon line, precept upon precept, until you have full revelation. Once you have revelation, you have destination. You have to have guidance from the Word of God. So revelation provides you with destination. Now you know where you're going. More importantly, you know how to get there. I know we're busy. I know we have so many other things that are distracting us. We're being pulled to the left. We're being pulled by the right. My God, how many more voices can enter into our life? We got TVs. We got cell phones. We got smartphones. We got bosses. Woo! Going to a mall, you got music. You got intercoms. You got people talking on their phones. There's voices everywhere. But you look into this word, you will always see this when it's that still, small voice. This one will let you know. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will empower you. He lives you. He lives in you. When you need direction, He'll give it to you. You need understanding, He'll provide it. When you need to know what to do, He'll tell you. When you need to know what not to do, He'll instruct you. When you feel insignificant, He will qualify you. I am so grateful that I didn't have to be qualified to do the things I was called to do, or I wouldn't have done anything. I literally would stand in places and I'd be there and I'd be going, what am I doing here? How did I get here? I don't even know what to do now that I'm here. And then all of a sudden it would come my turn to deliver whatever I was supposed to deliver. And not only did I have what I needed, I had left over. I don't even know where it came from. Oh, I know where it came from. Spirit says, I'll teach you all things. No more fear. No more doubt. No more insignificance. No more healing, stealing. No more rejection. No more abandonment. You serve a God of more than enough. So then there's more than enough on the inside of you to do whatever He has called you to do. So take that out there and go make a difference.